familiar and beloved, will return on January 31st, 2024. Well, hey there, family. Thank you for joining us for your monthly Patreon special presentation. What we have for you this time around is a bit of time travel. In October of 2022, we ventured out onto the highways to see what it would be like to produce an Old Gods of Appalachia live show. We did four shows, two in Asheville, North Carolina, one in Wise County, Virginia, and one in Radford, Virginia, under the banner of Unknown Roads, an exploration of the hidden and undiscovered places in our Appalachia, as well as an examination of the nooks and crannies of the hearts of the characters who populated those places. These shows only happened four times, and they featured performances from Uri Lowenthal, Cecil Baldwin, Corey Ryan Forrester, as well as the usual Old Gods cast and family, and they were very, very special. And they were very limited in audience. Pieces of this show made their way into the 2023 Price of Progress National Tour, but there are some sections of this original show that have just never been heard. And we wanted to share some of those with you. So what I'm going to do for you today is walk you through what we call the opening malediction, which was how every show on the Unknown Roads Tour played out. And if you've seen our live show in 2023, you might notice some similarities, but this is from the OG. This is from the original script of Unknown Roads. And from there, we're going to take you all the way up north for a brief visit in Barrow, Pennsylvania, for a meeting that has never happened anywhere else but on the stage of Unknown Roads. So let's just set y'all out and see how you do. And I'll come back and talk to you in just a little bit. Talk to you soon, family. Talk to you real soon. If you were born in these mountains, family, you have heard the call. You have felt it pull on your heartstrings and tug at your innards anytime you even think of moving away. And if you stay, then you have been seduced by that siren serenade, as surely if she stood on your shoulder, she whispers that home is where the heart is, while she holds yours, clutched and bleeding in her talons. The road that leads from this place, all asphalt and yellow lines, paved and maintained by the county, can only bear you to damnation. But the road that carries you home, well, blessed be that well-worn path, that holy back road, that marriage of gravel and cold earth that calls you back again and again and again, whether you mean it to or not. Now, if you moved here from away, then you have already answered the call, forsaking your flatlands and highfalutin cities, burrowing inward like an invasive species, completely charmed by our hospitality, the sweet tea, and the blessings of all y'all's poor little hearts, until you too stand on the precipice of a void you do not comprehend. You poor pilgrims are unprepared for this journey into the darkness. But as my daddy said, y'all gonna learn. You might be a boy in a scout's uniform, given a machete at the age of 11, which sounds a mite irresponsible, but Papaw said a knife is a knife, and that's how Thacker's Branch does, and turned loose to play outside until dark, wreaking havoc on the trees and the woods behind your house when it calls for you. And you follow it deeper into that sunset undergrowth, away from the house and back toward the reservoir, where there ain't no houses built just yet. You'll find it there waiting for you, winding back into the weeds toward the old strip job. It knows your name, and it whispers that it's safe, that you can come a little further, that you got good shoes and a big knife, and your mama won't mind if you come in a little after dark. You might be a teenage girl, writing poetry darker than a vice principal's heart in the back room of your mama's single wide up in Cherry Hill, counting the days till you're old enough to get the hell out of this town that threatens to wrap around you like the weeds that choke the medians of the four-lane highway that lead down the mountain and away from this awful and beautiful place. The license issued to you by the Commonwealth on your 16th birthday may be the greatest treasure you will ever own, as it bestows upon you the right to follow that great asphalt ribbon wherever it leads. And for a girl who yearns to escape the petty prejudices and confining expectations of small-town life, the holy rites of clutch and gear shift, combinations of speed and a mixtape on the stereo, are the closest thing to religion you may ever accept. And you know, one day they will take you far from here. And yet, when it calls, you answer, and that always means a detour. Could be you're a child of the moon and stars, your body an ill-fitting garment against your soul, the bones that bear you upright little more than a cage to keep you in. In these hills, your heart has to work three times harder just to find room to breathe, and you learn early on that escape is your best option. You will hear it call for you as well. It will ask you to come closer. Place your ear against the bosom of your mother and listen to the stories of the mountain's heartbeat tells. Just stay a while, it tempts you. Just one more story. It knows it can't stifle your light entirely without breaking you, so it seeks to delay your egress just a little longer, setting you on a winding path deeper into shadows to bloom like your mamaw's bleeding heart bush. You can try to ignore it. You can refuse to answer. You can try your best to sit still and not heed its call, but if you stay in these mountains for any time at all, you will find yourself there alone. Far from the light of your own porch, your feet carrying you ever deeper into the velveteen night of these hills, walking the quiet, lonesome miles of the unknown road. Barrow, Pennsylvania, 1901. Family, tonight's stories will carry us through various dates and destinations in these mountains, as those unknown roads wind through both time and through the hearts of the folks who call this place home. If a man is lost, if he finds himself drowning in his own vices or in the choices he's made or failed to make, then he indeed is walking the unknown road of his own conscience, a forlorn wanderer struggling to find the path to a purpose that might redeem him in the eyes of his God or of his fellow man. Let us cast our eyes to such a man who in the spring of 1901 was indeed lost. A man born to wealth and privilege, who enjoyed every advantage the material world could offer. A man whose daddy had more connections than the railroad station in Roanoke. A man whose hands were so steeped in blood, both proverbial and literal, that all the money in the world couldn't have bought him a good night's sleep or peace in his heart. A man so ashamed at times of what he had done in the name of money or to gain his daddy's approval that he often counted himself amongst the lowest, filthiest, most worthless sacks of dog shit.
Hey now, come on.
Sorry, family. Jerry Brotherton, son of Judge Hangin' Wayne Brotherton, desperately wanted to be a decent man. But somehow he always seemed to avoid making the choices necessary to become one. His daddy had used his influence in both the public and private sectors to secure young Gerald a number of positions, ranging from police chief to head dog catcher to warden with the State Prison Board of North Carolina. His performance in the last of these roles was the only thing that ever garnered him the faintest glimmer of his daddy's approval. The tersely worded telegram, "Well done, boy. Stop," was something Jerry carried in his wallet until his dying day. But the United States prison system is a machine that chews up the souls of both its sheep and its shepherd. And Jerry soon found he could not continue with the prison board, did not wish to see the Swannanoa Tunnel project through to its completion. In a move that surprised even himself in its boldness, he wrote directly to Governor Zebulon Vance and asked to be reassigned. Governor Vance sent him to oversee the building of a new prison out in the middle of the state, a facility that burned to the ground shortly after it opened, taking the lives of 142 men with it. His previous successes overshadowed by this monumental failure, Jerry found himself in the unenviable position of reaching out to his daddy for help once again. Wayne Brotherton felt it best to get his bumbling baby boy out of the Tar Heel State for a while, so he pulled a few strings and greased a few palms, and Jerry Brotherton found himself headed up north. He arrived with no fanfare at the train station in Barrow, Pennsylvania, and proceeded with hat in hand to the headquarters of Barrow Mineral Resources, the mining arm of Barrow and Lock Combine, for a job interview.
Mr. Brotherton, Miss Barrow will see you now.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity, Miss Barrow.
Sit down, Mr. Brotherton.
Yes, ma'am.
So, I see here you have quite a long history in the public service sector. Positions your father helped you secure, as I understand it.
Well, yes, ma'am, but I'm ready to settle down now and put my nose to the grindstone, as they say, you know, just really buckle down and dedicate myself to a long term.
I must say, Mr. Brotherton, your work history is quite impressive.
It is? Are you sure you got the right resume?
Well, we always do a little pre-interview digging of our own. I find it's often what's not on the paper that reveals a man's most valuable attributes. You have accomplished so much in such a short time. Why, your work on the Swannanoa Tunnel project alone, so many men sacrificed on the altar of industry.
I didn't have nothing to do with that, ma'am. That was a tragedy, but...
Oh, of course. Couldn't be helped. Am I right? Oh, and that unfortunate fire at that last prison you ran. How could you have known that the construction crew cut corners on the kitchen facility?
I didn't. I couldn't. The facility was already under construction when I got there.
Of course it was. None of the blame can ever quite be laid at your feet. It's truly, truly remarkable how good your father is at arranging things, like the gardener's son, who drowned when you were, 10, was it?
That was an accident. I just had to go in the woods to answer nature's call, and when I got back, Pete was in the water, and I couldn't swim, and I ran to fetch his daddy, but it was too late, and my daddy...
Your daddy made it all go away for you. Exactly. You are lucky to have a daddy who cares enough to take care of those little details for you. I should know. I hope you appreciate yours as much as I do mine. I'm sure you're going to fit right in here, Mr. Brotherton. Now, there's just a bit of paperwork you'll need to complete, a simple contract, nothing too lengthy, and we'll have you sign in blood, of course.
Excuse me, I don't mean to be rude, but it was a long train ride, and I didn't have time to stop before coming in here. Could I just use your facilities, Miss Barrow?
Why, of course. Down the hall, third door on your left, I'll have my secretary prepare the documents, and you can sign on your way out. Welcome to the team, Mr. Brotherton. I'm looking forward to working with a man of your connections. Next!
Jerry Brotherton hurried past Polly Barrow's secretary's desk and out of her office. He did not stop to avail himself of whatever facilities he might have found inside the third door on his left. He continued right on through the lobby and out the front door. From there, he proceeded to the train station, where he purchased a ticket on the next southbound train. He didn't much care where it was going, as long as it took him far from Barrow, Pennsylvania. Tracy Johnson Crum as Pretty Polly Barrow and Corey Ryan Forrester as Judge Jerry Brotherton in a little sketch that was titled Overqualified. Now, it wouldn't be a true sampling of our original live show if we didn't pull one of the musical artists out of the past and put them on stage in front of you today. We were joined on those four blessed dates by Miguel and Kina from Blood on the Harp. There are few bands, few musical artists that I could tell you as Old Gods of Appalachia became really a thing that influenced me and inspired me more than Atlanta, Georgia's Blood on the Harp. They were good friends. They were great people, and I enjoyed working with them. Unfortunately, they are no longer a band, and that breaks my heart every day. They wrote Build Mama a Coffin. Just so you know, that song existed, and it's where I took the title of Build Mama a Coffin from. It is not the Build Mama a Coffin theme song. Miguel wrote Build Mama a Coffin, and it was an existing song about him and his mother, and it inspired me to write the story, Build Mama a Coffin, which is about something else entirely. But we do not have any of the performances Kina and Miguel laid down for us on the Unknown Roads tour. However, as if almost guided by a vision, we had the foresight to commission a live recording of several of our favorite Blood on the Harp songs to be used however and whenever we wished, with their permission and with them being well compensated. So to make up for not having recordings of Kina and Miguel from Blood on the Harp, allow me to present you with a special live performance from the full band of Blood on the Harp. Here's Dance Here.
Well, I've seen people lining up to take a shot at me.
Yeah. Blood on the Harp with Dance here on this little peek back in time to the Unknown Roads kind of prototype tour, our very first live show outings. And I want to thank you guys for sticking with us through this little experiment. And I like pulling back the veil and showing you guys how things work behind the scenes and how things came to be. And I hope you guys have enjoyed it as well. That's all I've got for you this time around. But I'm going to end this the way we end all of our live shows, family. And it's a song that if you've been listening to the show, you know it well, but you haven't heard it in a while. So I'm just going to let it roll. We'll talk to you soon, family. Talk to you real soon.
There is a curse upon my every waking breath, and I cannot escape the darkness. It feels like every step is gone to be my lane. The iris of my eye is cast.